Good morning. We're so happy to have you with us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio are Paul and Joan Seeger. We were talking last time about you guys growing up on the mission field, and you became involved in the mission work, went to the MK schools and boarding schools. Did you stay in those schools until graduation from high school?
We did. We actually both came back to the States for our last year of high school. A lot of missionaries tend to do that.
Okay.
Just so that their kids can get back into the American culture,
right,
understand the American way of education, and then it makes a little easier transition going into college.
Okay.
So we both came back for that last year.
You and your brother. Oh, you and
Paul.
Well,
I'm talking about Paul, yes.
Okay.
Paul and myself.
Okay.
We didn't know each other at that time,
right,
but
right,
we both had that same experience.
Okay.
Before
okay.
we went to Bible college.
Mm-hmm. When was it, and I can get two answers here, that you sensed that God was softening your heart to go back to a foreign field?
Well, it was actually while I was here in the States that last year of high school,
okay,
in a church service, that it just seemed like God gripped me to the fact that I needed to commit myself totally to Him, whatever He wanted. And
yeah,
obviously, because my parents were missionaries, I had that leaning because I understood that world, but
right,
I wasn't saying I was going to be a missionary just because they were. So I went off to Bible college,
uh-huh,
and it was through that process of studying that I leaned more and more towards missions. Though, as I thought in terms of ministering, I sort of at some points backed away. I still remember the first time I preached a message. I was in Bible college, and a local church had asked me to preach. It was my first sermon. Joan and I were engaged at the time, and she happened to be there. And
that was scary.
It was. I was literally scared for weeks
yeah.
ahead of time. Well, after that sermon, it was so bad that Joan wrote to her parents. She didn't tell me about this till later, and told them, I really like this guy, but he's never going to be a preacher. And so, you know, all of us that are in missions or in ministry are more surprised by the fact that God used us than anything. But God progressively just kept nudging me forward,
okay,
and through the process of finishing Bible college and getting some experience as an assistant pastor,
right,
when the time came for us to actually make the commitment to go back to Africa,
okay,
it was just there. It was just like
yeah,
the most
yeah.
next logical step.
Now, you met at Appalachian Bible College?
We did.
Yes. That's an awesome school.
Yes. They've trained us well.
Yeah.
Some key things that have still remained with us for these all these years of ministry,
mm-hmm,
were well entrenched in our hearts and minds
right.
at that point.
Right. How about for you, John?
I was completely different. I had decided that since I grew up on the mission field, I was not going to be a missionary. I'd kind of already done that. So
you'd done your time.
I paid my dues, and so it wasn't that I didn't want to serve the Lord. I did. I was a believer and growing in my Christian walk, but I was really not interested in missions until I went to Bible college, and I was there a year before Paul was. And during that first, I think that happened for a reason. The Lord spoke to my heart, because if I would have waited until Paul came, then I would have done whatever he wanted to do.
Right.
But in order for the Lord to get my attention, I was there first. It was during a missions conference at the Bible college. And the speaker was very blunt when he said, there are only two categories of people. You are either a missionary or you're a mission field. And I thought, I don't want to be a missionary. But I'm not a mission field, so therefore I must be a missionary, and I'm not a very good one. So it was right then that I dedicated my life to say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, no
uh-huh.
matter where it is,
yeah, yeah,
then I will prepare to do that.
Okay. It's important for us to express the willingness, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Whether or not we ever go,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
it's not so much the issue. Just sort of like Abraham with his son offering him.
Right,
God
right.
didn't want the sacrifice. He simply wanted the willingness.
Right. And as we share with the Lord, I'm willing to go but preparing to stay, as opposed to preparing to go but willing to stay.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a big difference, isn't there?
There is.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your Bible college experience, then the Lord just kind of began to solidify that this may be or this is God's leadership. Tell me about your discussions then as a dating couple and how you kind of shared with each other what the Lord was doing in your hearts.
Well, after I had dedicated my life, I went forward. It was public. You know, there was no backing down. So whoever I dated was going to have to be involved in
yes.
in a missionary endeavor somewhere.
Okay.
So I was pretty firm about that. And, of course, when Paul came along and we had the same background, we,
right,
you know, ate the same foods, even though he was from northern part of Africa, I was from southern part of Africa, I thought that this was just a match made in heaven. So we had a lot of discussions about where we would go, and there was no question.
Okay.
We both wanted to go back to Africa.
Okay, okay.
So there was never a debate about anything. We were on the same page from the very beginning.
Gotcha.
But realized that we really wanted to get some experience before we went,
uh-huh,
and that's why we took an assistant pastorate youth leader position,
mm-hmm,
in a church in North Carolina, mm-hmm, and we're there for 3 years,
right,
and really got to practice what we had been learning in Bible college.
Good, good.
So someone came along and talked to us and told us about the opportunities and the needs in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like we were just on the edge of this cliff. All he had to do was just tap us a little bit. We were over. So we were ready to go. It was just really a matter of where. That was,
yes,
all.
Yeah. But, you know, the idea of gaining experience, one of my best friends in seminary was planning on being a missionary, and I think I kind of messed him up because our home church needed a pastor. A little motivation there. And so I told him he wasn't qualified to be a missionary. And he said, well, why not? And I said, you're going into church planting. You've never pastored a church. You don't have a clue what you're doing. You're going to make all your mistakes in front of the ungodly heathen. You know, I was just pouring this on, you know. I said, you really need to get some experience here in the States. And he said, well, so what are you saying? I'm saying, well, my home church needs a pastor. He started laughing, you know. Well, eventually he became the pastor of my home church. And today he is retired from pastoring, and he is taking all kinds of missions trips to Vietnam and other areas. He was a pharmacist before he felt the Lord leading him into the ministry. So he is using that medical field, you know, to be able to get into these closed countries. And so we still joke today, and I said, well, you got a little bit more pastoral experience than I really thought you had to have, you know, had like 40 years. But willingness, I think, is the key.
And that's not a bad thing. You know, going back to Acts 13,
mm-hmm,
the message I spoke the first night of that conference,
right,
they were the key leaders in that church. Paul, mm-hmm, and Barnabas were.
Yeah.
And they had been Christians for many years and had much ministry experience. So
right,
it wasn't novices going to the mission field. It wasn't the young people going to the, mm-hmm, mission field. Though John, mm-hmm, Mark joined them, the key leaders were really well-seasoned, experienced people that went to the mission field.
Right.
And I think there's probably still room for the Timothys and the John Marks on the mission field, but we really do need well-seasoned and experienced people to go to the mission field because it's tough.
Right.
You have all the problems of ministry and the challenges of it, but then you add on top of that the layers of cultural adaptation,
yeah,
language learning,
yeah,
all the rest of that. It's a complicated issue.
Because eventually John Mark left.
He did.
You know, and then later became mature under Barnabas's ministry, but at first he wasn't ready. Demas wasn't ready. You know, so we see the importance of maturity and just being seasoned.
The next step in that process of us getting to the country of South Africa was our mission agency asked us if we would go to Europe, to West Berlin, when this was when the wall was still up,
okay,
and work with American military for 9 months while we were waiting for our visas to get to South Africa.
Sure, yeah.
We were anxious to get to South Africa. We wanted to get started into church planting.
Right.
But we thought this will just give us more experience in working with,
uh-huh,
adults. So now we had had our 3 years in an internship working with teenagers.
Right.
Still have those relationships today, which,
oh,
are,
yeah,
awesome.
They're great.
Now we're in Europe. And as we look back now, we see, wow, the Lord had us in a lot of different areas. We lived on that continent. We were active and with different age groups. And then when we finally became, you know, that Paul was the director of Biblical Ministries Worldwide.
Yes.
We see we had experience in a lot of different areas.
Right.
And a lot of different countries and continents that have helped us in this position.
And when you went to South Africa, am I correct in understanding that you kind of focused on European folks in South Africa?
That's correct. This organization, actually in the previous generation, was called Worldwide European Fellowship. And,
oh,
as the name applies,
okay,
we went there to reach Europeans. Back then, there was about 5 million Europeans in,
mm-hmm,
South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going through some church history like we had back maybe in the 30s, where many of the denominations were going liberal. And so we went there to start churches that were non-denominational,
mm-hmm,
and it was,
mm-hmm,
a very fruitful time because,
right,
there was still a culture of Christianity, at least, but many of them had sort of walked away from the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked for those years, and it was during the apartheid years, so you sort of had to pick a language group and a population group to work with.
Yeah.
And so ours was with the Europeans.
Right. So your 9 months in Germany just kind of was a great prep for the Lord's next step.
For sure, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you talk to folks that are serving the Lord, how that is often true. You know, God kind of hones you with the various experiences as he gets you more focused by the experiences and the opportunities that you've already had.
That was certainly the case with South Africa. I was involved in planting three churches there, but I view really a lot was accomplished in that. It was all preparation for the work that I'm doing now as the
right.
director of this organization. I could have never done this had I not had that experience mm-hmm. in South Africa. And mm-hmm. so that was great prep for this job. There's a book by Clinton that is called The Making of a Leader, and he talks about these different phases of a person in life and ministry,
mm-hmm.
and he calls it convergence, where you get to a place where you really get to your life work. And
mm-hmm.
so oftentimes, a lot of the experiences we have in our early life is for that life work.
Yes, yes. Kind of, like I said, honing you to that focus, and I just finished reading a book entitled Halftime, and it's kind of like the coach in the middle of the game. Okay, guys, we need to refocus. Here's some areas we're kind of weak on. This is the direction we need to go. These are the changes we need to. And many times that's what happens to us, you know, in our midlife. We can either have a crisis or it can be a change that really becomes a fantastic blessing. For you, then, the idea of leaving the mission field as far as church planning, things like that, how did the Lord work in your life to open that door? Was he already working before your mission board contacted you, or did they contact you and then you began to work?
Well, this was certainly nothing we ever imagined. In
mm-hmm.
fact, we had picked out our retirement spot in Cape Town, South Africa. That was the place we wanted to retire.
We were there for life.
And we went to Africa
wait
for life.
Wait a minute, did you buy cemetery plots?
No.
Well, we didn't.
Okay, you weren't there for life.
Life, not death.
There you go, okay.
But our kids had been raised in South Africa. They were South Africans.
Sure, yeah.
And so
yeah.
this was home for us. We just sort of never in our wildest imagination ever thought we'd be back in the States.
Right.
But as I was planting that third church, God did give me sort of a restlessness and said, you know, you can do this. I've done it now twice, and I'm in my third project. And so God just sort of started creating an uneasiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the request was given to us, I was mentally and emotionally and sort of internally ready for thinking of something different.
Okay. And many times the uneasiness is what I hear. And that's what I personally have experienced as well when the Lord is trying to make a change in my ministry. It's an uneasiness like, Lord, is this it? You know, everything could be going great, but at the end of the day, Lord, is this it? You know, and then at that point, we begin to understand that God is the God of change.
Yeah, that's right.
And there are times we really resist change. Next time we're together, I want to talk about how we allow God to change our hearts. Till the next time, folks, may God bless you in a fantastic way.